chapter 11, these are words of Jesus that you might have heard these before. But he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Pray with me, would you? God, I am grateful for your word. And I pray that as we focus on it together for the next little while, that you will teach us from it, that we'll hear within it your heart for us, and that we'll hear the good news of the gospel. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So, my first or second year of ministry, it was my very first Disciple Bible study class. If you're not familiar with Disciple, Disciple is a 34-week, very intensive Bible study course. It's awesome. A lot of you have already had it, and I hope that those of you who haven't will consider signing up for it when we start again in the fall. But there was a lady in the class that when you looked at her, she had the absolute perfect family. She had two boys. They were good looking. They were smart. They were talented. They were good at sports. Her husband had a good job. She was a beautiful lady. Always when you saw her, she was dressed just immaculately. Her hair was fixed perfectly. Her makeup was perfect. And she had one of those, you know, the stature of someone who always kept their back straight and their shoulders up, you know. She was just, you would never know that there was anything else going on inside her except absolute perfection. Well, one day in class, and it was a good ways into the class, not exactly at the end, but I don't have any idea what it was that we were talking about. But all of a sudden, she started to unload. She was bawling her eyes out and venting stuff that had happened to her when she was a teenager, some hurt that she'd experienced. And I don't remember all the details of it, but she was hurt by a person. She was hurt by the church. And she'd been carrying this thing forever. If I had to guess, she was in her 40s. At this point, and you would never know it by looking at her, that she was dying inside, carrying this incredibly heavy burden with her that finally came out. And once she started, y'all, I mean, it didn't stop. We spent probably 30 minutes letting her just unpack all of the hurt and pain and struggle that she'd had for probably the last 30 years. It's a moment I'll never forget. Because she had worn a mask. All of that outer stuff, the surface stuff, the perfect hair, the perfect makeup, the perfect clothes, all of that was a mask to cover the pain that she was feeling inside. So Moses wore a mask. He'd gone up to the mountain where God had given him the law. And the first time he went up there, he was up there for quite a while, and the people just got impatient and got to the point where they said, "He's gone, he's not coming back, we need to do something." And so they convinced Aaron to make an idol for them. Perhaps you remember this story from the narrative in Exodus. They gathered up all of their gold, and they had Aaron melt it down, and they formed it into the shape of this calf, this golden calf. And Aaron said to the people, "This is your God. This is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Forget all that other stuff. I know Moses is gone. This is your God. You worship him." And they began to worship him. Well, Moses was up there on the mountain, and God said, "Look, the people have just gone off the deep end. You need to go take care of this, because I'm about to." Moses gets down there. He punishes the people. There's all of this stuff. He says, "What are you guys doing, for crying out loud?" Well, after all of that, Moses goes back up to the mountain for God to repeat all of this stuff, to give him two new tablets that had the commandments on it and all of that. And that's where we are in the story that we read in Exodus. He comes down from the mountain, and I don't know exactly what it looked like, but he'd been in the presence of God, and his face was shining, it said. In my mind, I picture that something like a sunburn, maybe. Something along those lines. I don't know. It may have been something totally different, but that's how I picture it. But the people were freaked out by it. They didn't know why in the world Moses was, his face was shining. And finally, they convinced him that he needed to put on a mask, a veil. He'd take it off when he went and sat with God again, but when he came back down off of the mountain, he would put the veil right back on. And he wore the mask because the people insisted on it, seemingly. That they were so scared of it. Maybe they were feeling guilty because of the golden calf thing. Maybe it was just, I can't imagine that it would be all that unusual for somebody to have sunburn because they were walking around in the wilderness, y'all. I mean, it was hot in that place. The sun shone. I can't imagine it'd be all that unusual. But for whatever reason, they were not comfortable with Moses if he did not have the mask on. Now, for him, wearing the mask was to help the people be comfortable because he'd had an experience with God that they hadn't had. You with me so far? We still wear masks. But our masks are different. I don't know that any of us would hide an experience that we had with God where we felt his presence, where we had a moment of connection. I don't imagine that there's any of us in the room that would wear a mask to keep other people from seeing us and hearing us have those experiences with God. I don't think that would be the case at all. We wear our masks because we don't want people to know the truth. We've got stuff that we're hiding. And everybody else, when we come to church, everybody else is wearing their masks and they all look perfect and they've got the perfect marriages and the perfect children and the perfect job and they're always happy. I mean, just look on Facebook with what people post. I mean, there's a little meme that's gone around that said, if your life was just as perfect as you post about on Facebook, right? We wear our mask because everybody else is wearing theirs. There's a great song that came out several years ago by a band named Casting Crowns. It's called The Stained Glass Masquerade. I want you to hear the lyrics to this. Is there anyone... Shoot, I'm not going to be able to do this without my glasses. I thought I could pull it off. I know I look even weirder now, but you know. Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? Because when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I pack it all away like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, maybe I'll believe it too. So with a painted grin, I'll play the part again so everyone will see the way that I see them. And then the chorus is, "And are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples with walls around our weakness and smiles that hide our pain? But the invitation's open to every heart that's been broken. Maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade." Second verse. "Is there anyone who's been there? Are there any hands to raise? Am I the only one who's traded the altar for a stage? The performance is convincing and we know every line by heart. Only when no one is watching can we really fall apart. But would it set me free if I dared to let you see the truth behind the person that you imagine me to be? Would your arms be open or would you walk away? Would the love of Jesus be enough to make you stay?" I'm doing this series called Let's Get Real. I would be willing to bet that every single one of us in this room can relate to that. Every single one of us in this room is dealing with stuff. And you would think that the church could be a place where we could come together and experience the love of Jesus and unpack some of these things, to find people who are dealing with the same stuff that we're dealing with. And by the love of Jesus, help each other find a way, a path to work through all of these things. I was at the Orange Conference this week with Pat and the Dittos, and there was a guy named Ryan Leake that I'd never heard of before, but he was a fantastic speaker. And he was speaking in one of the main sessions, and I actually texted Joseph and Rebecca and Pat and said, y'all, this is my sermon for Sunday. But he reminded me of some statistics that I've heard several places. He was talking about the differences between those who are unchurched, or a church word that we use for this is lost, versus those who are in the church, those who are found, those that have a relationship with God, the difference in statistics. And he said, do you know the difference in percentage of divorce among those who are unchurched and those who are in the church? Do you know what the difference in the percentage is? Nothing. No difference whatsoever. Do you know the difference in percentage between those who are lost and those who are found with regards to those who deal with depression? Zero. They deal with it, we do too. Do you know the difference in statistics between the unchurched and the churched with regards to substance abuse? Zero. No difference at all. They deal with it. We deal with it. Anxiety is the same. There's no difference between those who live outside the church and those who live inside the church with regards to dealing with things like anxiety. But when you come to church, you don't ever hear any people talking about that. Because of this. Because if we find out the stuff that each of us is dealing with, somebody's going to judge us. If they find out the truth, we're afraid that they're not going to allow us to be a part anymore. We may be serving in a leadership position. And if they find out the truth, would they really let me serve in this way again? And so we do to each other what the Israelites did to Moses, but for the exact opposite reason. We force each other to wear masks because I don't want you to know the truth about me, and I know you don't want to know the truth. You don't want me to know the truth about you. So we wear these masks. And then all of those people outside the church, they look at us and they say we're a bunch of hypocrites. But we are, right? We are. They see us out in the world. They see how we treat each other. They see how we treat them. They know that we're dealing with the same junk that they're dealing with. But we come to church every Sunday and we sing hymns and we raise our hands and we serve and we do all these things and we're the same people that they are. And so they ask the question, why do I need to go to church? They're dealing with the same stuff that I am. At least I'm honest about it. Right? I wear a mask every Sunday. Every time I'm in this building, I'm wearing a mask. There's stuff in my life that I'm afraid for you to find out. Because if you found out, I don't know that you would want me to be your preacher anymore. But the flip side of that would be, and it's a struggle that I deal with, because I feel like if you knew that I struggled with some of this stuff, that we could help each other. But I'm scared. But I want you to see again what Jesus says from Matthew. Can we put that back up on the screen, please? Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that the stuff that we struggle with, that Jesus is big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to take those burdens from us? Now, I know you're probably sitting there in your chair and you're thinking, well, sure, we believe that. But why don't we do it? If we believed it, why don't we take off our masks and allow Jesus to give us rest? You know, the church should be a place where we meet together and we admit that we are sinful folk. In fact, that's the whole reason why you come to church, right? To hear some good news of the gospel, to hear some connection where you begin to feel good, because in the rest of your week, there are things that make you feel bad. And so we want to come and we want to hear those words, but can we really hear them if we're wearing the masks that we wear? I've debated for weeks about this sermon. Because I'm scared. But if I'm going to call you to take off your masks, then I'm going to have to take off mine. Your preacher is a recovering alcoholic. I self-medicated insomnia. Before I knew it, it had me. Thankfully, because of verses like this, I'm almost 3 years sober. But here's what I know and what I've learned through that process. In 2015, statistics, and you know, you can make statistics do whatever you want them to. 7% of the population in America is struggling with the same stuff that I deal with. If you look around this room, there's probably close to 100 people in it. That means 7 of you at least are struggling with a disease that you can't control. So I'm taking off my mask. It's a risk. My hands are shaking. I'm scared to death. But if I can help you, I want to be able to do that because I believe that verse with all my heart. I've dealt with depression, crippling. After all of that, the shame, the guilt, the, you know, all that stuff, I didn't want to get out of bed. My office had a bathroom in it, a private bathroom. And there were many days where I would just go into the bathroom and lay on the floor because I did not want to see people. I know depression. I know what it's like. If we look at statistics, I think it's about 10% of the population struggles with depression. If we look around the room, there are bunches of us that struggle with depression. If we took our masks off, we could help each other. If we took our masks off, we could begin to live this verse. We could begin to understand that Jesus does give rest. He's given us the church to take care of each other. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, very first chapter, no, actually, I'm messing it up. Chapter 6, the very first verse. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says. Come to me, all of you who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We got to stop judging each other. We got to stop worrying about who's going to tell our news. Because here's the thing. We hear somebody come up to us and they're telling us some bit of juicy gossip about somebody else that they heard. And every one of us, as we hear them say that, we're saying, oh my gosh, what if you ever found out about my stuff and what would you do with that? We got to quit. We've got to fall so deeply in love with Jesus that we can then love each other. When we do that, we help Jesus accomplish this. As long as we wear our masks, y'all, we will never be the church that God desires for us to be. Are you struggling with something? I know you are. Your struggles may not be the same struggles that mine are, but you're struggling. Take off your mask. Quit forcing everybody else to wear theirs because you're too scared to take yours off. And hear Jesus say this, I will give you rest. Pray with me, would you? Father, we are sinners. We struggle. We've got things that pull us away from you, and we need help. We need to know that we're not in this alone. We need to know that your reckless love comes after us despite all of that stuff. Remind us that Jesus died because of all of that stuff to give us a way back to you. So, Father, help us to hear that we can come to you and that you will give us rest. And then, Lord, give us courage to carry each other's burdens. Give us courage to take off our masks. Help us to admit the real truth so that we can be a place where people experience love and not judgment. Where people experience grace and not condemnation. Thank you for loving us, Father. We pray this and everything in the name of your Son, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen.